So who would like to open this up in prayer? Brandon?
Dear Lord, for this day of control that you have given us, and I pray that you'll bless this week that we're going to go through, and I pray that you give us wisdom.
All right, so we're going to read Matthew 12, verse 14 and through 16. TJ, can you read that? I'm talking to you.
Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him know that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying,
"7:3." Yeah, you did. That's right, you jumped ahead. Because just like we're jumping into this scripture, we find out that our hero is loved by some and hated by others, right? What is going on? What are the Pharisees mad at again? Right? It seems like an ongoing theme for the Pharisees. They're always mad at Jesus, right? To fully understand situations, it's helpful to know what happened before and after that situation, right? If you see something going on in the news, it's always helpful to know what happens before and after. It applies to the Bible also. When you're reading the Bible, it's always good to know what happens before and after, because sometimes that situation is just as important as what is said. Because different situations have different responses, correct? Right? So you should, when you're stuck on a verse or you're trying to find the true meaning of the verse, you have to read the verses before and the verses after it to find out the context. So, and I know Caleb did an awesome job last Sunday. So does anybody remember what is going on? Why are the Pharisees so mad? Right, because Jesus, because they healed on the Sabbath, which you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. With Jewish law is that they couldn't do anything. But what Jesus did, they got real bent out of shape. What Jesus did, he explained logically and compassionately that helping somebody in need and working on the Sabbath are two different things, right? They're two different things. He's just helping them out. Somebody was desperately in need. But the Pharisees still did not get it. They still didn't understand. After Jesus explained to them what was going on, they still didn't get it. In verse 15, it says, Jesus withdrew from there. So he withdrew there. Know this, is very important, is that Jesus did not leave with his tail between his legs. He didn't retreat. He is not scared of a fight. Jesus has the power to do anything. He could have set a 30-foot Hello Kitty doll to destroy them. He's not scared. He could have done that, right? Walking away from a fight doesn't mean that you're wrong. It doesn't make you a coward. It doesn't make you weak. It shows that you have integrity and that you're in control of your emotions. Proverbs, keep your finger in Matthew, but we're going to read Proverbs 20, verse 3. Kayla? Yeah, just verse 3.
It is honorable for a man to stop striving since any fool can start.
I kind of like, I was going through, and there's different translations in the Bible, obviously we know this, right? And the reason there's different translations is just getting different ways to say the same thing. You know, there are some good translations, there's some bad translations. I normally like New King James, but I like what the Voice translation said on that, and it reads, "Honor is due those who refuse to fight at a drop of a hat, but every fool jumps at an opportunity to quarrel." So honor is due those who, you know, refuse to fight. You know, who, if you don't have to fight, it's better to walk away. You know, the picture I have of these Pharisees is a picture of no control over their emotions. You know, the point of anger where you clench your fist and you're shaking about. You know, have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen anybody get that mad? That they're physically just, you know, they could show their anger. Yes? Yeah. Have we ever got that mad? Maybe. I've been there, unfortunately. But, you know, I've also seen it. You know, a couple months ago, and I've already told you guys this, and I don't know if you've been there or if you were here when I told you that, but a couple months ago, me and Michelle, you know, we're driving by Walmart, and quite honestly, I don't know what I did. More than likely, I cut this guy off. I don't know. I probably did cut this guy off. I was going too slow. I don't know. But all of a sudden, there's these honking, and this guy's rushing up next to us, and he's yelling and he's honking, he's just being irate, right? And then he starts taking his shirt off, like, I don't know what. I mean, he's out of control. That's all I can say. It was just full rage and had no control over himself. You know, there would be no good that would happen if I would have tried to follow him or let him follow me and stop where he stopped. There is no good what could have happened because he was so irate. In Proverbs 14, I should have kept myself. Proverbs 14, verse 7. Helena, can you read that? I mean, I couldn't even reason. There was no way I would have been able to reason with that guy, I feel like. You know, he would have wanted to fight. There's no doubt in my mind. And there was no reasoning with these Pharisees at that point. Jesus knew that there was no reason. He actually shows compassion by walking away. He shows compassion with withdrawing. He's giving the Pharisees a time to calm down. A time just to breathe. Because what they were doing, they were digging themselves a hole. They were digging themselves a hole there was no way they were going to be able to climb out of. You know, if they kept that up. Because they were going against God. And that's a fight that nobody can win. Let's turn to John. John 3, 17. Connor, can you read that? You know, Jesus didn't come to the earth to crush the unbeliever. You know, he didn't come just to wipe them out, but to give them a chance to change their minds while there's still time. He's giving them a chance. You know, he's giving them another chance. Jesus may have been giving the Pharisees a breather, giving some of them, maybe one of them, maybe it was just one of them, time to think about what Jesus told them. But God never stops, never pauses his ministry. Jesus kept healing the sick. You see, the great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. You know, here we see that he warned the multitude not to make him known. Again, Jesus is not scared. You know, and I don't really think it was about keeping his location secret, because the Pharisees, you know, couldn't the Pharisees just go to a window and go, oh, there's a big crowd right there. I wonder where Jesus is. You know, he'd probably see that big crowd. They probably knew where he would be. But I got a feeling it's about rubbing it in the Pharisees' face. You know, that he's still healing on the Sabbath. You know, being graceful when we lose a game is very important. That's very important. However, we also need graceful when we win a game. You know, when we win a game. If we taunt, if we put others down, it's like putting salt in a wound, right? You know what happens when you put salt in a wound, right? It feels great? No? How does it feel? You don't know. No, nobody's, I mean, we've all heard about it. We never do it because it stings. It stings and it burns. You know, and it's something that is not easily forgotten. So that process, that can easily build up walls. It can fortify strongholds. And those are two things that you do not want between you and God. You know, between you and the enemy, yes. Between you and God, no. You don't want that. You don't want that between the person that can actually help you. You want open channels, right? You want that relationship that you could just go to him anytime you want. In James 1, it's towards the back of the Bible. It's a small book, so sometimes you flip right past it and you don't even think of it. Right after Hebrews, James 1, verse 20. You know, we're not righteous if we're in our wrath, right? It's hard to be righteous being angry at other people because we're supposed to love them, right? We're supposed to be doing things out of love, talking to people out of love. You know, not letting anything come out of our mouth except for what is encouraging and uplifting. I know sometimes the flesh gets a hold of us, but that's not God, right? We're not being very godly then. Not only did Jesus do the right thing, of course he's God, you know, he always does the right thing, but when he did this, when he walked away, when he withdrew, he also fulfilled a prophecy. In Matthew 12, verse 17, we'll read it again. Nick, can you read that?
Smoking black
So here, you know, we see a whole bunch of stuff, right? There's a lot of verses. So we here see a whole bunch of stuff. But here we see, we could actually see the Trinity in the first couple of verses. So God talks about Jesus being his servant, correct? That he's the chosen one and that God is well pleased with Jesus. He's talking about Jesus here. And God also talks about the Holy Spirit upon him. So there's the Trinity, right? Jesus went to the Jews first, right? He was born a Jew. He was talking to them first. But he's always had a plan of justice for all nations. Now, when the Jewish leaders, being the Pharisees, right, they came against Jesus, and Jesus not letting them get away with it, not like, oh, that's all right, these guys are good, right? Not letting them get away with it, it confirms blessings not just for the Jews, but for all, for the Gentiles. You know, for those nations not born of Jewish descent, basically us, right? So that's just a confirmation that God is going to bless us. That's fulfilling the prophecy here. You know, the prophecy is in Isaiah, and it's pretty much the exact, he's quoting Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. You know, and then we go on to the next verses about this man that they never see Jesus be that one what quarrels, that cries out, that voice they hear in the street. You know, that image, I picture basically that guy I saw on the road, right? He's yelling, he's arguing, he's complaining. You know, you never hear Jesus complain, like, well, why is it happening to me? No, you don't. I mean, he did ask God, you know, if I don't have to drink of this cup, you know, but he's not complaining. You know, he's not out of control. His emotions are complete in control. And it's never in like a public scene. So like it'd be that person was just getting irate and it doesn't matter who around. You know, he doesn't care how he looks towards other people. You know, now Jesus does know what it's like to get mad. You know, it's a righteous anger he goes through, but he does know what it's like to get mad. But he also sees that big picture. That big picture, and he also keeps his emotions under check. Just like we should do, right? We should be in control of our emotions. It talks about a bruised reed. So anybody know what a reed is? It's not read. You didn't read a book. It's a reed. It's usually green. Huh? It is a plant. By the shores, right? You know, there's up here you see they have cattails, right? And then you whack them and then get the cotton coming out, right? So that's what it is, a reed. You know, and what do reeds do with the wind? They just sway back and forth. So it's talking about people would just sway back and forth. They're not really set anywhere. And bruised, well, if it's bruised, it's easily broken. It's easily broken. But Jesus goes out of his way not to break somebody like that. What's swaying back and forth, what's bruised, what's damaged. He doesn't want to break them. He wants to heal them. You know, then a smoking flax. Now, this one's even a little bit tougher, but he's talking about a wick, basically. A wick and a candle are a lamp, but a smoking would signify, you know, like a dim, like it's almost out. It's just a little smoldering, like a campfire when it smolders. It's almost out, but it's still there. Jesus doesn't blow it out. He doesn't snuff it out. You know, again, he's talking about those people, what their light is very dim, but he wants to just encourage them. He wants to come alongside of them. He doesn't want to put that light out. Jesus gives us He gives everybody second, thirds, and even more chances than they deserve to get right with him. God has more grace than we have mistakes. And I'm very thankful for that because I have a lot of mistakes. Just ask Michelle. She's so serious that she's like, yeah, he's right. We can trust God. Trust in everything he says to us. Trust that he's going to bring justice. Trust that he is a righteous judge. But being a righteous judge means that when he deals out justice, there will be judgment. Can't have one without the other. And on Jesus' second coming, it's not that he has any less grace for us, because God never changed. He has a ton of grace, and he still don't have grace, but in his second coming, the time has ran out. The time will have ran out. You know, and what we have chosen is final. We can't choose it again. We can't change our mind. It'll be final. Justice will be served. And for right now, there is time. But nobody knows the hour or the day of his second coming. That's why we're supposed to look at that as a thief in the night. You don't know. I mean, a thief's not going to tell you when he's going to rob your house, right? Because you'd be there to stop him. So we don't know, so we need to decide now. We need to decide now who we're going to follow. In Matthew 12, we're back in Matthew 12, 22 through 24. Would you like to read? Beelzebub.
Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons.
So Beelzebub, that's basically who? Satan, right? It's just another name. I don't know. I heard it a long time ago, but that's the only reason I know how to pronounce it. But so here we have Jesus heals this guy what's blind and mute. I mean, that's very hard to communicate, you know, right? Because he hasn't known anything. And Jesus heals him. Then everybody starts saying, could this be the son of David? Now, back then, every good Jew would know that the Messiah is going to come through David's lineage. So it's kind of like a great, 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 it's like 1,000 years, great, great, however many, 10 greats, grandson of David, King David, would be Jesus, right? So the question could be, is this the Messiah? You know, in this, I rated the Pharisees yet again. You know, I don't know if it was losing control of leadership or why they were so dead set. I never did quite get that because the Pharisees studied and they knew the scripture and they saw the miracles, but yet I guess it's kind of like people today. There are those who are very stubborn, aren't there? Very stubborn. And these people were very stubborn. And so they said, oh, Jesus, He doesn't get his power from God. He gets him from Beelzebub. Have you ever said anything out of anger that makes no sense? Yes? Only one person? Or multiple people? All right. You know, there's times that you say something, and then because you said it, then you even do something more foolish is that you have to defend it because you said it, right? It's like, okay, well, I'm on this set, so I have to defend it, even though I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. You know, there's been too many times I said foolish things in my life. I put those things in the past. Honestly, I don't like dwelling on those times because they're in the past. I don't like to bring them up. We cannot change the past, but we can make better choices for the future, can't we? Now, we find the Pharisees not really making better choices for the future, but the Pharisees, why they said that, why they said that he gets the power from the devil was they wanted to discredit Jesus. That was their goal. That was their point. Saying that he got power over the demons from Satan is to make people go, well, why are we following this guy? Jesus cannot and will not stand for that. Because that could stumble somebody who believes that lie. Stumble somebody into the wrong path. In Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. And I'm horrible. It's been a while since I've been in here in... Elena, help me out. Judah. That's right. I should remember. Judah, do you feel like reading or? Are you going to read from the board? If you could see it, my eyes are bad.
These six things the Lord hates. Yes. Seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among his brethren.
All right. Note that these seven things that God, what? Hates. These seven things God hates are ways that one person can stumble another. If you go through there, they're all stumbling blocks for people. You know, if they're put against them. God does not like when we trip on accident. He absolutely, absolutely hates when somebody trips us on purpose. You know, I would hate to be that person where God's coming against. You know, also note that two of these things, if we look at this list, two of these things are lies. The false witness, and then the lying. Two of these things are lies. So he must really hate that. Correct? So what we say matters. In verses 25 and 27 in Matthew 12. Haley, do you feel like reading or? Reading? So a house divided cannot stand. You know, it's a very common phrase, and it's just logical sense, right? You know, a house with good foundation still needs its anchored, its walls anchored to that foundation. Right? And then it could be the best built walls, but with a bad foundation, it will fall over time. So he's even saying, and just, I mean, it's just to combat the silly comment they made about getting his power from the demon because he cast out demons, is even the house of the devil, you know, it makes no sense that Satan would remove a demon from a lost soul. Because that's his point, is to get lost souls. So it wouldn't make any sense for him to free a person. He'd be working against himself. Just like if we say we're Christians here at church, but then we go and act completely different out of church, we'd be working against ourselves. We wouldn't be cohesive. We'd be trying to do two different things. And it's at one point or another, it's not going to work. It's going to fall and it's going to lead to destruction. You know, then the Pharisees saying about casting out demons, are they making this blanket statement? And those blanket statements can be really dangerous and very cause a lot of trouble. But are they saying that everybody who cast out a demon is doing it from the power of Beelzebub? He's saying that, what about their sons? How are they casting out demons? How are other people casting out demons? What about the generation to come? What are they going to say about this statement the Pharisees are preaching right now? Are they going to say that it's foolish? Or they don't say that is wise? It doesn't really make sense, does it? So I would say that the generation to come is going to think that the Pharisees are very foolish. In 28 and 29, I think I got everybody to read, right? Lainey, would you like to read again? Jesus is not happy at all at this point. He's not happy because he's being compared with Satan. And Jesus has no part with Satan. Has no part. You know, now Satan, he can be strong. He has some lies that work for him. You know, have tripped up a lot of people. But he's not even close to the same league as Jesus. He's not even close. It's like a popcorn football team going against the Cardinals. You know, it's just not going to, you know, I mean, the Cardinals could not play so well. But, you know, I mean, they could help him out, but there's not going to be any contest, right? There's not going to be any contest. Jesus will bind Satan. He has no trouble binding Satan and plundering his house. That's God's promise. He will do that. It will happen. In Matthew verse 30. Kayla, can you read that? So there's no middle ground. You know, you can't, you know, follow Jesus here, and like I was saying, out of church, not follow Jesus. You know, we could only serve one master. And if we're not serving God 24/7, then he's not our master. You know, something else, we're letting something else be our master. You know, we can't play both sides. You know, we need to pick a side and stick with it. Basically, Jesus is saying is, yo, you're either with me or you're against me. In verses 31 through 32, Connor?
Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come.
So the unpardonable sin. What we're talking about. You know, God has given us free will. Right? He's given us free will. He's given us signs. He's given us wonders. He's given us a way to be saved. If we never ask, we will never receive. Right? That stubbornness to refuse the heat of the Holy Spirit conviction and accept the forgiveness of Jesus. So that when he's talking about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is that, you know, that feeling you get when you should be convicted or you should go to Jesus. If you don't, if you refuse, if you're stubborn about that and don't go to Jesus, don't go to the Holy Spirit, that drawing, that's what's not forgiven. You know, God will not force us. He wants us to come to him. He really wants us. He loves us. And he wants us to come to him, but he will not force us. You know, it's our decision. You know, how can he forgive if we don't want to be forgiven? He's ready to forgive us, but we need to give him that opportunity to forgive us. You know, it wasn't a very smart move for the Pharisees to call out Jesus, right? It wasn't a smart move at all for them. But even that huge screw-up, even by saying that Jesus was getting his power from the Satan, I believe that if the Pharisees, if any of the Pharisees changed their heart, if they had a change of mind, they would have been forgiven, or they did get forgiven. You know, just like Jesus would do for us. You know, we might have screwed up in the past. We might have known somebody was screwed up in the past. Might have friends. But it doesn't matter what happened in the past. Jesus is ready to forgive us today. Ready to forgive us anytime we come to him. And if that's you guys today, you know that you can make that decision to come to Jesus. That he's right there willing and waiting for you. But if it's not you today, if you know a friend, maybe what needs Jesus. Maybe he needs to just have you there for him. Don't be scared. Talk to them. Be that example for them. Be there for them. Encourage them. And as always, we're always here to talk if you need talk afterwards or anytime.